exclusive W266DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Flood watches and warnings are posted throughout California because of the latest drenching storm system hitting the state. CBS's Dina Demetrius in Los Angeles with more.
We're very worried down here on the peninsula.
People in Long Beach are lining their homes with sandbags, and beaches are being reinforced ahead of possible coastal flooding. Waves from 6 to 12 feet are expected, which could lead to possible building and pier damage. Along the central coast, the California Highway Patrol's Air Division rescued at least two drivers trapped by rising water on Monday. Excessive rain is washing out roads, causing sinkholes and potholes.
Two adults are charged with murder in connection with the shooting after the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl celebration that left one person dead and 22 others injured. Jackson County Prosecutor Gene Peters Baker says it stemmed from a fight between Dominic Miller and Lindell Mays.
Mays pulled his handgun first. Almost immediately, others pulled their firearms. Defendant Miller was one of those individuals.
Both men face murder in the second degree along with other charges. The body of a missing 11-year-old Livingston, Texas girl is found in a river several days after Audrey Cunningham did not return home from school. Polk County Sheriff Byron Lyons on how they found Audrey.
Some of that evidence was even gathered by the wonderful witnesses and wonderful folks out there in the social media who sent us videos, who sent us pictures. Some of that, even that evidence helped us to be able to come up with these locations.
Authorities are preparing an arrest warrant for a man who had been living on the Cunningham's property for capital murder in the death of the child. The White House promises major sanctions on Russia in response to Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny's death in a penal colony. State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller.
The Kremlin has poisoned Navalny, imprisoned him unjustly, kept him in harsh conditions, and denied him medical care. It is the Russian government that is responsible for Navalny's death while in detention.
The U.S. sanctions package will be unveiled on Friday. As the U.S. vetoes a U.N. Security Council resolution that called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, saying it would not work, the Israeli military is once again trying to tamp down Hamas militants in northern Gaza. CBS's Robert Berger has details.
There's been heavy fighting in two neighborhoods of Gaza City where the army had effectively declared victory several weeks ago. Residents say militants are putting up stiff resistance. Now, this is just what Israel fears, that once the army pulls out, Hamas moves back in.
Stocks fall on Wall Street. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin in Madison must now accept all high school graduates from the state who finish in the top 5% of their class. All other state universities have to admit grads who finish in the top 10%. The new law is part of the deal to release state money in exchange for diversity program cuts. Governor Evers signed the bill into law Tuesday. Wisconsin State Senate Republicans are firing four more of Governor Evers' appointees, including former Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton. She was serving on the UW Hospitals and Clinics Board. Democratic Senator Kelder Royce.
She did nothing but serve our state well and continues to do so. And yet, this body is going to reject her because of pure partisanship.
Republicans also fired Tom Ames from the Natural Resources Board. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Brewers warming up in Arizona. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers getting ready for their first game in spring training when they face the Padres Saturday. The team re-signing pitcher Brandon Woodruff to a two-year deal as he recovers from surgery on his shoulder. NFL, the Packers hiring a new strength and conditioning coach. He is Aaron Hill, who's been the 49ers assistant coach the past four seasons. College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers at home tonight against Maryland. Head coach Greg Gard met with reporters and was asked, what do you say to a team that's dropped out of the top 25? Five rankings after losing five of their last six games.
No, I think there's, you know, you look at, you know, we've had other teams go through it too. I don't look at because we don't talk much when we've won five in a row or six in a row or seven of eight. And I don't worry about or talk about, oh, we've lost X number of how many, or we've won one in a row or two in a row. Let's get ready for Maryland and take it one day at a time and one game at a time.
That's the Badgers head coach, Greg Gard, with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a low in the low 30s with a partly cloudy sky. Mostly sunny and even warmer tomorrow, high to the mid-50s. And around 50 degrees with some early clouds Thursday, then sun for the afternoon. Cooling to the upper 30s, but mostly sunny for Friday. It's 46 right now.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who can still look intimidating in leg warmers, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Kicking off hour number two, we are broadcasting statewide from our WGBW studios here in downtown Green Bay. Our question tonight, what's your favorite movie starring an SNL star? They're coming up on their 50th anniversary, which is pretty incredible. And Lauren Michaels has been an executive producer on many movies, thanks to his players, which is really cool. This is from the 414, Jack from Merrimack. My favorite movie with an SNL actor, Roxanne, was Steve Martin. In my opinion, his most brilliant performance. I kind of agree with that. Johnny, did you see Roxanne?
I did see Roxanne. It's been a long, long time ago.
It's good. I watched it recently, well, maybe 5 years ago with my kids. It's a lot of Steve Martin, and I like Steve Martin a lot, but it's very jokey, but very sweet. You know, it's a good film. Hey, thanks for sticking around for a few more minutes. I appreciate your time. My guest is Johnny Beaner. He is a Madison-based comedian. He's performed on David Letterman. The last new comic to perform on Letterman?
Yeah, the last comic to make their debut on Letterman.
That's so cool. And you've done a Dry Bar comedy special. Where can people see those?
I would say Google Dry Bar Comedy. I don't know. Drybarcomedy.com. It's on the whole special's on YouTube.
Okay.
They put it up. I don't know. They you can subscribe to them, or you can just watch them on their YouTube channel for free.
And where can do you have any dates coming up in Wisconsin soon? People can see you live.
You know what? I do. I have, I'm at the Comedy Cabin in Janesville.
Oh,
and the calendar is coming up. It's in 2 weeks, March 2nd. It's a Saturday. I got two shows at the Comedy Cabin in Janesville.
All right. That's awesome. Comedy Cabin. So at this point in your career, are you committed to staying in Wisconsin and making it work from here? Are you open to going other places? Are you still looking for like TV work, acting work? Where do you see yourself?
Stand-up is my true passion. I see myself here at least until my kids are out of the house, but probably long after that, because I love Madison, and I just feel like with this day and age, You can do that. You can, you know, if you're going to make it, you don't necessarily have to be in New York or LA anymore.
Right.
I'm just happy performing and doing stand up. And so who knows what the future holds, but I'll be in Madison for quite a while.
Nice. You took, in your bio, it says you also studied improv at Second City with the Upright Citizens Brigade. Did that solidify your love of stand-up, or was that just good training to enhance the stand-up, or were you thinking about making a jump? Can you talk about those experiences?
Yeah, well, actually, I have more of a background in improv before I did stand-up, because I did improv, you know, in like late grade school, they had it at our school. And then in high school, I did improv and speech. And then when I went to Marquette, I mean, I was on the improv team, and that was like my true love. I just loved doing improv. And then I discovered stand-up. And I wanted to keep, you know, I wanted to keep my skills fresh in both. So that's why I did Second City in Chicago after I graduated college. And then when we moved to LA, my brother is actually one of the groundlings. He just gave up his spot, but I didn't want to take that same path and try to do groundlings. So I did the UCB route instead and went through the program out in LA doing UCB just to still do improv.
Did it affect your writing being in LA in a good way or a bad way? Like, do you find it easier to write stand up living in a place like Madison or LA, or does it matter?
I think I like not being in LA more, just because in LA, I just felt like I felt not special. I like being the only person, you know. I like it being interesting when people find out, oh, you do stand up. Whereas in LA, you talk to everyone and it's, oh yeah, I do stand up too. Oh, okay. and plus you're also in LA, you're driving around doing whatever. And there's just billboards of people that have made, you're just bombarded with people that have made it. And you're just like, I don't need to be reminded of where I'm not at every time I open my eyes. I like right. being in Madison and being on my way to a gig knowing, well, there's probably not too many people within a few miles of me doing what I'm doing right now.
That's a pretty cool answer. All right. So last question for you, this Omaha, it's kind of like in some ways a forgotten city. I feel like whenever I hear Omaha, I'm like, oh yeah, Omaha. Like, you think of Nebraska, you just think of Nebraska, but I did stand up there years ago. My wife and I had so much fun walking around. Is it Market Street?
Oh yeah. In the old market downtown.
The old market. And the yeah. club was great. I worked there 3 or 4 times. I had so much fun in Omaha, and I know it makes an appearance in a lot of Alexander Payne films, but yeah. Why isn't Omaha a more popular city?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm too close, so I can't see, you know, what the perception of Omaha is. I mean, I do the funny bone at least once a year. What is the club that's in the old market?
It was like one of those, there was a chain of them called Spaghetti Works. There was one in Des Moines, Omaha, and there was.
Is it a while ago?
Mid-90s. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's where I went to. That's where I had my prom dinner, was at Spaghetti Works.
I was probably doing stand-up in the other room. Like, yeah. Watch the swearing. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I can't tell you. I'll tell you, Counting Crows is my favorite band, and they did some heavy lifting trying
That's
to
right.
get profile up. But
I think it's a great town. Maybe it's like too smack dab in the middle of America or something. I don't know. It really truly is like right in the middle. And a really fun town, but yeah, that's interesting.
I'm from there, and I can only name two cities in Nebraska, Omaha and Lincoln.
There's a city called North Platte, I think.
That's some of them. There's a Waterloo, I think.
Our car broke down in North Platte on a family vacation. We had the family truckster. That's probably why I like vacation so much. It was just this crazy. I don't
relate
know.
To it, yeah.
Well, hey, I appreciate your time. It was so great meeting you, Johnny. Check out Johnny's website. It's johnnybeener.com. He spells his last name. Johnny is Johnny, JohnnyBeehner.com, johnnybeener.com. So great having you tonight, and kick some butt in Janesville. We'll have to do this again soon, I hope.
That sounds great. Great to meet you. Thanks for having me on, Pete.
You too. Thanks, Johnny. Have a great night.
See ya.
See you later. All right. So check him out March 2nd at the Comedy Cabin in Janesville. I never did stand up in Janesville. Isn't that crazy? I did a lot of cities, but he is, that is pretty cool. That Letterman story. I love hearing stuff like that. And, one of the last new comics ever to do Letterman. Very cool stuff. In a few minutes, Jeff Kurz will be here to talk about his film Deep Woods, which you can watch. I think you can stream that. He's going to let us know where we can see it. Independent film. I want to say shot in Wisconsin. Jeff is the producer. And he's a former Miramax studio executive who found his way back to his hometown of Milwaukee. And we will have him on in just a few minutes. So I was talking about Sidney Poitier earlier. He is just one of my favorite actors. And he's in one of my favorite movies called In the Heat of the Night. And not to be outdone, as great as he is in the film, Rod Steiger is incredible in that movie too. And the two of them together, it's like an acting clinic or workshop. They're so great. So let's play a clip. This is where Virgil Tibbs, played by Sidney Poitier, it's his birthday today. He gets the actor's birthday, not the character's birthday. He gets arrested in Mississippi because a dead body was found downtown. He was just waiting for the train. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning. And this is a scene between him, who Sidney plays a Philadelphia detective, and Rod Steiger, who plays the small town police chief. Phenomenal acting.
What'd you hit him with? Hit whom? 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 What are you? You a northern boy? What's a northern boy like you doing all the way down here?
I was waiting for the train.
Well, now there ain't no trains this time of morning.
Tuesdays only, 4:05 to Memphis.
You say. All right, you say right. All right. Where are you? Oh. Now, look. I try to run a nice, clean, safe town here. A town where a man can sneeze and not get his brains beat out. You follow me?
Yes.
Why don't you tell me how you killed Mr. Colbert, and I promise you, you're going to feel a whole lot better.
I was visiting my mother. I came in on the 12:35 from Brownsville. I was waiting to go out on the 4:05.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the meanwhile, you just killed yourself a white man, just about the most important white man we got around here, and picked yourself up a couple of $100s.
I earned that money 10 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Colored can't earn that kind of money, boy. Hell, that's more than I make in a month. Now, where did you earn it?
Philadelphia.
Mississippi?
Pennsylvania.
Not just what you do up there, little old Pennsylvania, earn that kind of money.
I'm a police officer.
Oh, snap. Such a great scene. And In the Heat of the Night is one of those movies where it's just got this aesthetic to it. They're sitting in this small town police station in Mississippi in the middle of the night, 4 o'clock in the morning. The air conditioner is broken. Rod Steiger's shirt is all sweaty and they've got a murder and they don't get murders around there. And the first person they suspect is a man traveling through town who happens to be a Philadelphia police officer, who ends up helping them try to solve the murder on the orders of his captain in Philadelphia. What I also love about that scene, their voices. Sidney Poitier has this voice that is like this sort of distinguished. He's almost got like an accent or something. And then you've got Rod Steiger, who speaks so musically. And the two of them together, it is absolutely spectacular. Just an incredible scene and one of many in the Heat of the Night. And as I mentioned, this is Sidney Poitier's birthday. He died in 2022. I think he was 94 years old. Phenomenal actor. Maybe we'll have time for another one too. We got some Miles Teller clips too. Conrad.
Yeah, we do.
You still here?
Yeah, we got some, we got the scene from The Offer.
Yeah.
Whiplash and Top Gun Maverick.
How do we get 8 hours of show into 2 hours? All right. We'll talk about that and figure it out. Hey, Jeff Kurz is coming up next. We're going to talk about his movie Deep Woods here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Leave it alone.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Tom Allball Show.
We'll be bringing you spring primary results tonight when they're available. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. In Waukesha County, some voters are in the Waterford Union School District, and they're proposing two referenda totaling $91 million. The city of Brookfield's 5th Aldermanic District sees a race without an incumbent. The town of Genesee is choosing among six candidates for town board supervisor. In the village of Waukesha, an incumbent faces challengers for village trustee. Shifting to Milwaukee County, the mayoral race in the city of Milwaukee features Cavalier Johnson, Isaiah Griffin, and David King. The 5th, 7th, and 11th aldermanic districts in Milwaukee are also contested, with incumbents and newcomers alike. The Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors' 18th District sees an incumbent taking on two challengers. To recap your ballot, go to myvote.wi.gov. Spring primary results coming up tonight on WAUK.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
I mean, like, seriously, what could be better, folks? We're talking movies and TV on a Tuesday night in the great state of Wisconsin here on the Civic Media Radio Network, broadcasting statewide. So great to have you guys with me tonight. We talked in the heat of the night. We'll talk a little more heat of the night coming up, and a little bit of Miles Teller on his birthday. From the 608, this is Rico from Rock County. In the Heat of the Night, Pete, was a very good movie. I would agree, but it is a very close second to Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. You could certainly make that argument, Rico. Absolutely. Spencer Tracy, I believe. And it's been years since I've seen that movie, too. But he, you know, Sidney Poitier just elevates every film he's in. That's how phenomenal and charismatic in his own way that he is. But that's a great point, and we could certainly have that discussion. That would be fun. Okay. So my next guest is a film producer and a former studio executive and a resident of the great state of Wisconsin. Oh, we don't have him yet. Sorry. But when he gets here, I will be happy to introduce him. And his name is Jeff Kurz. His film is called Deep Woods, and I just watched it. I am always fascinated when people can make independent films look so much bigger. Part of the trick of making a successful independent film, whether you have $5 million, $500,000, or $50,000, is making it look bigger than it is. Adding production value to open up the film. Like, so many people try to make independent films. They're in a small room. They have bad sound. The acting's not great. If you can find good actors and find someone who can light and do good sound, that's half the battle. But having said that, if you can open it up to various locations and kind of add some value through scenery, and even if it's like a car chase or driving shots, shots in the wilderness that add beauty and natural scenery, you add so much value to your film. And in Deep Woods, that is what they did. And I will tell you guys where you can see that film soon as we get Jeff in here. Conrad, how are we doing? We have a bad connection. Okay. Should we do a clip? Tonight is not tonight, but this year it's the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. And when you think about all the films that the show has sort of launched and all the movie careers. I mean, it used to be, if you were on Saturday Night Live, you were famous. If you were a cast member, you know, the Not Ready for Primetime players, Belushi, Aykroyd, Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, Eddie Murphy, and Billy Crystal. I forgot that, you know, you forget he was a cast member. Mike Myers, Adam Sandler, Will Ferrell. I mean, the list goes on and on. Chris Rock, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Gilda Radner, like, all these people have done amazing things with that Saturday Night Live on their resume. And there's a film by Jason Reitman that will be out, or they're filming it right now for the 50th anniversary, that I'm excited to see. I don't watch the show as much as I used to, but that sounds like a really cool film. And the more distance you get in years, the more those casts kind of, the different casts, I think, become more interesting. Like, I would love to see Phil Hartman do a sketch again. It's never going to happen, obviously, but, and that's our question for tonight. What is your favorite movie starring an SNL actor or actress? Got some great texts so far. And here's another one from Andrew from Verona, from this, Andrew's in the 630. It's Pat, the movie. I forgot that that they made a movie out of that character. That's right. That's another one. Julia Sweeney. Andrew says the greatest of all time. Oh, wait, no, that movie was terrible. I never saw it. I don't know. The character's funny. Yeah, I don't know how you build a whole movie around that. That's like Al Franken and Stuart Smiley. They did a whole movie around that. And I think Al Franken's hilarious. I can't imagine watching Stuart for a whole movie, though. But let's move on. We're going to talk some film now because I think we have our guest on the phone. He is a film producer who joins us here on Nightlight, Jeff Kurz. Jeff, how are you?
I'm really good, Pete. How are you?
Doing very well. I'm so glad you took time out tonight to be with us. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So tell us a little bit. Your film is called Deep Woods. I watched it, and I was just, while we were waiting to get you on the phone, I was talking a little bit about how hard it is or what a challenge it can be to open up independent films and add value to them. And your film certainly did that. But before we get to that, tell us a little bit about the film Deep Woods.
You know, I want to tell you a little bit about what I do, and then I can kind of get into what happened, you know, how Deep Woods happened. So,
okay.
I'm a Wisconsin native who, after he graduated from Madison, I moved out to Los Angeles and I worked my way up in the industry. I started at Columbia Pictures and then I was at Miramax Films for all of the 1990s. And at the end of the 90s, I decided that I wanted to move back to Wisconsin. And so I started producing. And I've got a producing partner in New York and another one in Los Angeles. So I've worked with the BBC and I've worked with Film 4 in London. But since I live in Milwaukee now, I really wanted to tap into what I was seeing was a lot of talent that wasn't getting the opportunity to really work on movies. They were working on commercials. And I happened to meet this guy named Steve Laughlin, who wrote and directed this movie, Deep Woods. And we worked on the script for about a year and a half. And at the end of the year and a half, I said, listen, if you really want to direct this, he's been very successful in advertising. He has an advertising agency called Laughlin Constable. And I said, if you wanted to direct this, which was on his bucket list to do, I said, you know, you're ready to go. We could do this. The financing came together fairly quickly. And so we shot right before the pandemic, 5 weeks. And I have to tell you, it was really I've worked on a lot of movies as an executive. I worked on, you know, Scream, and I worked on Pulp Fiction, and I worked on a lot of movies. This was one of the most enjoyable experiences that I ever had because the crew here was so fantastic and there's so much goodwill. It was really quite an incredible experience.
Wow. That's a lot to unpack. I had so many questions for you about your studio executive days too, but let's go back. Let's start with Deep Woods.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, so did you shoot the film in Wisconsin, Jeff?
We shot it entirely in Wisconsin with an entirely Wisconsin crew. We took over. So for those of you who haven't seen it, it's basically a guy who is kind of an arrogant architect, lives in a big city, used to the big city life, and decides to go out grouse hunting. He wanders off the path that he was told to stay on. He sees something that he wasn't supposed to see, and then he's chased into the deep woods where he's basically being hunted. And so, and because the people who are hunting him want to kill him for what he's seen, right? We obviously shot the city scenes in Milwaukee.
Right.
And then we took over. This was so great.
Hey, Jeff, let's do it to be continued right there. We got to do a quick bit of business here, but you're getting right to the good part, and I don't want to have to recap. So we're just getting started here with producer and former studio executive and Wisconsin native Jeff Kurz. This is Pete Schwabe in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
CBS News Brief. An atmospheric river event is moving through Southern California. Some parts of the state face potential mudslides after seeing half a foot of rain. CBS News Los Angeles' Kara Finstrom in Ventura says there's a high surf
warning. They're urging folks not to go into the coastline here in Ventura County, not even to go along those jetties that go out or along the rocks, because they're expecting waves of up to 16 feet.
In the deadly shooting at the end of the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl rally last week, Jackson County Prosecutor Gene Peters Baker says
the charges that I have today are against two separate individuals. Both of these are adults.
Facing murder in the second degree and other charges. YouTube parenting advice mom Ruby Frankie has been sentenced to up to 60 years in prison for child abuse. Lamar Winward is Frankie's attorney.
We feel that justice has been served today, and Ruby is committed to change her way of thinking and acting during her time in prison.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans are trying again to cut state income taxes by $2 billion. The state Senate passed a package yesterday that lowers taxes on people earning as much as $150,000 a year. Retirees would pay no state income taxes. Governor Evers vetoed two Republican tax cuts last year. Supporters of Wisconsin's new legislative map say they'll make elections this year more competitive. Beloit Democratic Senator Mark Spreitzer.
These are fair maps. If Republicans win a statewide election, they're going to win a majority in the legislature. If Democrats win a statewide election, we've got a shot at a majority. That's a shot we haven't had for more than a decade.
Once in office, Governor Evers says lawmakers on both sides will be incentivized to find middle ground. Evers signed new district boundaries into law Monday, a step that effectively ends a lawsuit before the state Supreme Court. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a low in the low 30s with a partly cloudy sky. Mostly sunny and even warmer tomorrow, high to the mid-50s. And around 50 degrees with some early clouds Thursday, then sun for the afternoon. Cooling to the upper 30s, but mostly sunny for Friday. It's 46 right now.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions, get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. So, tomorrow night on the show is comedian and award-winning comedy writer Jeff Cesario, also a Wisconsin resident. He'll join me tomorrow night. Right now, we are talking with another incredibly talented Wisconsin individual who's sort of been all over the show business map. And right now, he is a film producer who is telling us about his film Deep Woods and shooting in Wisconsin, Jeff Kurz. Jeff, right before the break, you were talking about you shot the urban shots in Milwaukee for Deep Woods, and you were about to go from there. So I hope you can continue.
Sure, absolutely. So as I said, it's a guy who's been kind of being chased, running for his life in the woods. We took over a kid's summer camp, the off-season, outside of Kewaskum, Wisconsin. And it was the perfect location because, first of all, it was beautiful, kind of treacherous, which was great for this for shooting. And that's where I put up the crew. So as soon as they stepped outside, you know, the lodging, they were on set.
Oh, nice.
We put most of the talent up in West Bend, and it was actually kind of a dream to have that kind of self-contained location to make a movie. It was really quite incredible. And you know, one of the great things about shooting in Wisconsin is that people aren't jaded here. I was talking to a friend in Los Angeles who was bragging to me that she, it only cost her $3,000 to shoot outside of a church in downtown LA. And I said, you know, all I would have to do here is just call the church and say, we're going to be outside your church tomorrow. Is that okay? And they would say, that's just fine.
Right.
There's so much goodwill here.
Yeah.
Just all around.
I love the story when I lived in LA about how people would throw lawnmowers in a truck when they would hear where a movie was shooting, if they knew it was a big studio film, and these yard workers would go up and start cutting the grass right next door, even if they weren't clients, just to get the production to pay them to go away.
Well, there's that. There's people who would like turn up their music so that, you know, you'd have to pay them to turn their music down.
Oh, that's
just
funny.
Yeah. I think that there's, like I said, there's so much goodwill and so much camaraderie here in Wisconsin, and there's an excitement, right? And you know, I can't say enough great things about the people who we did business with in Kewaskum in terms of locations, bars, restaurants. It was really, you know, it was really quite an incredible experience.
Yeah, they get a kick out of it, and I have to take this moment to say, our producer Conrad, that is his hometown. So you've made him very proud.
Fantastic.
So you kind of, as I'm watching this, Jeff, and having gone through the process before, I'm making my independent film checklist, and you like check every single box. You don't have a big cast. You don't have a ton of locations. You have all this beautiful natural value you get from shooting outside, especially in the woods. Now you tell me you put the crew up at a camp right by the woods. I mean, did this come from years of working for the studios and figuring out a way to cut corners? Because you really sound like you were on the ball here.
It comes from working on movies with no money and figuring out, how am I going to do this? One of my one of the things I love about being a producer is all the challenges that are put in front of you of, how am I going to get this done with very little money? And it just forces you to be resourceful. I mean, I had, you know, helicopters are expensive. I was able to get a helicopter, you know, at a really great price. I needed dogs that looked like wolves. I mean, it was really, and every time I thought, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I just know I'm going to do this. Somehow the universe would like put something in front of me or put some person in front of me that had the answer to exactly what I needed. So in answer to your question, it's being a producer is about problem solving and being resourceful. And yes, having the, just knowing, kind of connecting the dots and knowing who to ask and knowing the right questions to ask. Right.
Did you struggle at all with, I assume you had a relationship a decent relationship with the director, but did you have those moments where there was some infighting a bit between you and the director, something he wanted, you knew you couldn't afford, that type of stuff?
No. Well, the short answer is no. There was no drama on this set, which was great. Did he get everything that he wanted? He got a version of everything that he wanted.
That's great.
Okay. We couldn't always afford everything that he wanted, but I always came back to him. I would say, just let me do my job and I'll figure it out for you. And I would come back to him with a solution that he would be satisfied with. And that's another one of my kind of jobs as a producer, is to make sure that not only the director, but also the cast is satisfied.
So where did most of your actors come from? You had a really good cast in this. I thought what I loved about it too, Jeff, and rarely can you get away with this, or no big stars or recognizable faces, but just really good, solid actors that, in my opinion, make it easier to lose yourself in a story. Where did you find this cast?
So three of the, four of the main actors came from Los Angeles. Jalone Vanover is the star, and he was most recently on a TV series of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, a remake of Butch Cassidy. He played the Sundance Kid.
Nice.
But he's got a lot of other really nice credits. Tony Denison, who plays the villain, was on that series, The Closer, that Kira Sedgwick series, The Closer, for many years. Eddie Spears, who is kind of the hero sidekick, has been in everything from Dances with Wolves to he was in a series called Hell on Wheels on AMC for a couple of years. And then John Proudstar was most recently on Reservation Dogs, that Sterling Harjo series that was on FX. So they came from Los Angeles, but everybody else came out of Chicago. Chicago has such a strong talent pool right now because of all the television that's shot there, all of those Dick Wolf shows, you know, the Chicago Hope, Fire, and Chicago Med.
And a great theater community too.
Yes. So it's just such a strong, you know, bed of talent, and actors want to work. That's what the bottom line is. They want to work.
Right. Is it hard to get, you had firearms. What does that do? Is it hard to get insurance now in indie films? What does that do to your budget, or is it not really an issue?
Can I tell you, all of the guns, all of the guns you see in that movie are plastic that we rented from a house in New York. And then first of all, if you're going to have firearms on a set, you need to hire an armorer, or like a proper, they're known as an armorer, and they know how to handle the guns. And frankly, Pete, we couldn't afford an armorer. And I didn't want real guns on the set. Steve Laughlin, the writer-director, one day he said, oh, I brought my hunting rifles. And I said, put them back in your car. I don't even want to see them. Right? We used fake guns, and everything was done in post. The gunshots, the muzzle flares, and all the smoke from shooting a gun, it was all done in post. And it's very easy to do. Our editor did it in After Effects in post.
My guest is Jeff Kurz. He is the producer of the film Deep Woods. Jeff or Jeffrey, what do you prefer officially?
Jeff is fine. Jeff is good.
So where can people see Deep Woods, Jeff?
It is currently available on video on demand, anywhere where you buy video on demand, or you can buy it, you can rent it. It's Amazon, it's Apple, it's Vudu, anywhere you can rent or buy video on demand.
Very cool. And we'll put this on the Nightlight Facebook page as well, in case people want to find their way there and check out Deep Woods. So you mentioned that you were a studio executive on the film Pulp Fiction. Can you take us there and just tell us what that was like with a Tarantino film and all those A-list actors, the exact opposite of an indie film? I can't even imagine what the budget was on Pulp Fiction.
Well, once again, there's a way to make a movie where it seems like it was really expensive, and frankly, it wasn't. I mean, the funny story about Pulp Fiction is that, so we released Quentin's first movie, Reservoir Dogs. We bought that at the Sundance Film Festival. So we had a very good relationship with him. But he was really, Reservoir Dogs made him a very kind of in-demand, hot writer-director. And Sony Pictures wanted to do his next movie, which was Pulp Fiction. So he wrote, so they paid him to write the script, and he turned it in, and they said, "We don't get it. What is this? This doesn't make any sense. This is not a movie. We're not going to make this movie." And so we had 1 weekend to make a decision whether we were going to make Quentin's next movie or not. So we actually ended up buying the script from Sony because they didn't want to make it, and we made it. The talent really wanted to work with Quentin. And what we did was what was known as favored nations deals, where everybody got paid the same amount of money to be in that movie. So there's savings there, obviously, nice, yeah. Right? And so in answer to your question, you know, first of all, it was a really great experience. And I learned a lot because I was kind of a newbie executive at that point. But I learned so much. And Quentin is so instinctual that it was a really great experience.
I remember I was doing stand-up comedy at the time. I was in Indianapolis with a Milwaukee comic named Mick Lazinski, and we went to see that during the day. And just when that opening song starts, I'm like, I know I'm going to love this movie. And there was two guys. There's only two other people in the theater, Jeff, and one of them, you know, you do that kind of nonlinear thing where Travolta dies and then you flash back and he's alive again. Mm-hmm, well, mm-hmm. This guy couldn't wrap his head around that. And he kept saying to the guy next to him, "Wait a minute, what's going on here? That guy's dead." I'm like, "Oh my God, really? You can't see that?" Like somehow Miramax made a mistake and put the wrong scenes in the movie or something. It was so insane. But that's my Pulp Fiction story. Did you like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I did like Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, me too.
And I liked it better the second time I saw it.
Same.
It made more sense to me. Yeah.
It's funny you say that. I went to see it not knowing anything about it, and I've gotten so lucky doing that. But with that film in particular, I left the theater after 3 hours going, did I like that? I think I really liked that. And I wasn't expecting the ending. And I went back with my son the next day, and I'm kind of obsessed with the movie right now. It's very, like, almost hypnotic in a way. It's so great.
You know, Quentin is one of those people who's very loyal to the people who work around him. And he works with the same producers repeatedly. He's very solid that way.
That's so great. And what a cool experience for you to bring back here to Wisconsin. And do you have another movie lined up here?
Well, it's there's going to be something that's going to probably be filmed this summer. It's got to come together, but really nice cast, which I can't talk about right now, but okay. Really nice cast. And yeah, I think we're going to shoot this summer.
That's exciting. And shoot in Wisconsin?
Yeah, absolutely. There, you know, one of the great things about shooting here is that you can do things on a budget that you can't do in Atlanta or Chicago or New York or Los Angeles. It's just, you know, things are just don't cost as much here, which is why it's like it's much easier to make a movie here on a certain budget.
And you can shoot. I mean, there's urban, there's woods, there's water, there's farms, there's everything you want to shoot.
Within 30 minutes of each other.
Yes.
That's another like brilliant thing about this area is that you can be in downtown Milwaukee and 30 minutes later, you can be in a rural setting.
That's a great point. The movie is Deep Woods. Check it out on demand on Amazon, Apple, Vudu. We will post some information too and some links to the trailer on the Nightlight Facebook page. So check that out. Jeffrey Kurz, thank you so much for your time tonight, buddy.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, yeah, Pete.
Good luck. Okay. That's Jeff Kurz. It's so great talking too to someone who's had an experience with the studio and with independent films. Just two totally different animals, but both trying to achieve the same thing, make a great film. So that was fun to talk to Jeff. When we come back, we'll talk a little more Sidney Poitier, and we've got a couple more texts we'll read. And what else are we going to do, Conrad?
We still got some clips left.
We got clips. We could talk about Kewoskum. We'll figure it out.
We got to shout it out.
Hey, you know what? It's an open book next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
We'll be bringing you spring primary results tonight when they're available. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. In Waukesha County, some voters are in the Waterford Union School District, and they're proposing two referenda totaling $91 million. The city of Brookfield's 5th Aldermanic District sees a race without an incumbent. The town of Genesee is choosing among six candidates for town board supervisor. In the village of Waukesha, an incumbent faces challengers for village trustee. Shifting to Milwaukee County, the mayoral race in the city of Milwaukee features Cavalier Johnson, Isaiah Griffin, and David King. The 5th, 7th, and 11th aldermanic districts in Milwaukee are also contested, with incumbents and newcomers alike. The Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors' 18th district sees an incumbent taking on two challengers. To recap your ballot, go to myvote.wi.gov. Spring primary results coming up tonight on WAUK.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Welcome back. Stuart Saves His Family was actually not a bad film, so says the 262 on my phone. I don't even remember if I saw that film. It's definitely an SNL film with Al Franken, who can be very funny. Al Franken was so funny on SNL. He's still funny. And that character was very funny. And I remember when he had Michael Jordan on. But I don't think I really liked the movie that much, just because I barely remember seeing it. It seems like to stretch that out into an entire movie would be brutal. Okay, so it's Sidney Poitier's birthday today. We played a clip from In the Heat of the Night, and since it's one of my favorite movies of all time, we're going to play another clip. And this is a scene that became known as the slap heard round the world. And it's a white plantation owner being questioned by Sidney Poitier's character, Virgil Tibbs, a detective from Philadelphia, while they're in his greenhouse. And the man does not care for the way he's being questioned by Virgil Tibbs, a black man from Philadelphia. This is the first, well, let's play the clip, and then I'll tell you the significance of the scene as well. But this is Sidney Poitier from In the Heat of the Night.
Was Mr. Colbert ever in this greenhouse, say, last night about midnight?
Gillespie, yeah, you saw it.
I saw it.
But what are you gonna do about it?
I don't know.
I'll remember that. There was a time when I could have had you shot.
You better damn well clear out, and I mean fast.
What about that big speech you gave me this morning?
I didn't know you were going to slap any white man, at least of all Endicott.
All right, give me another day. 2 days, I'm close. I can pull that fat cat down. I can bring him right off this hill.
Oh, boy. Man, you're just like the rest of us. Ain't you?
Sidney Poitier, Rod Steiger. Incredible actors. And what happened was Sidney Poitier got slapped by Endicott, who was in the greenhouse, the owner of this big plantation type house. And Virgil Tibbs, the character in the film, slapped him right back. And that was the first time an African-American man slapped a white man on screen. And Sidney Poitier insisted on it. They didn't even know if they could shoot that. It's a movie. And that had never happened before. And that was 1967. And Poitier insisted. It stayed in the film. Somewhat controversial, but the film just totally stands up. It is like going back in time watching. And it's one of those films that you just feel like you are there. The aesthetics, like I mentioned earlier in the show, the blistering Mississippi heat, even at night. And the way the story unfolds, the narrative is incredible. So, there you go. Where do we go? All right, Conrad. So, what do we got? It's Miles Teller's birthday, too. I'm glad we got through our In the Heat of the Night stuff. That was important to me. You want to play the... So I don't know if people have seen The Offer. Have you seen The Offer, Conrad?
I have not, but it's definitely on my list.
It's great. It's on Peacock. Have you seen the movie The Godfather?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's about how this producer, Al Ruddy, who I want to say was a commercial producer, and had never made a film. Oh, no, he what was it? He produced a TV show, Hogan's Heroes. That was it. He was a producer on Hogan's Heroes. I don't even think he was the main producer. And he got this book and optioned it, and it's about how he got the movie The Godfather made. In this particular scene, he goes to see Joe Colombo, played by Giovanni Ribisi, in New York, looking for the blessing of organized crime because he knew that this film could potentially be perceived as making Italians look bad. And he wanted to get out in front of it and let them know that was not his intention. So this is a film where Al Ruddy goes to meet a crime boss in New York, Joe Colombo, about the making of The Godfather.
Joe, I respect what you're saying. And I understand your position, but with all due respect, can I explain mine?
This guy, you know, Mickey said he had stones. Listen, Al, I want you to know something. I ain't Mickey Cohen. But to show you that we're not like how you Hollywood people think we are, I'll hear you out. Go ahead.
Thank you. Look, I understand that the book has not been well received within the Italian-American community.
Well, you know.
But honestly, the book is not the movie I'm going to make. And I can promise you that my movie is not going to be the book.
What the flip does that mean?
It means that my movie is about a family that understands that the cops, the government, the entire criminal justice system is prejudiced against Italian Americans. It's about immigrants and what they need to do to find justice in a world that set up the
frickin'
keep them down. That's my movie.
There was also some good thespian work in there from our producer, Conrad Krieger. Great scene between Giovanni Ribisi and Miles Teller. And a really, really good show. I went into it kind of skeptically. I'm like, really? The making of The Godfather? That's a TV show, but it's fascinating. The hurdles they jump through and what they have to do to get the film made. And obviously, it became one of the greatest films of all time. It's like on everybody's... That's in the top five of almost every major critic's top five is The Godfather or The Godfather 2. And this producer from Hogan's Heroes, Al Ruddy, got it done. It's just a great underdog story. It's like the Rocky of getting mob movies made. Conrad, did you have a good time tonight?
Yeah, definitely.
It's a good show. We got a lot of great texts tonight.
It's always nice to hear my hometown getting shouted out some
way. How
about that? And me not bringing it up, you know?
Right.
Because usually I'm have to be like, Hugh Oscom did this, but...
It was on the silver screen in Deep Woods, and it's a camp. It's a really solid movie.
I definitely need to watch it to see if I can.
You do. We'll post the link on the Nightlight Facebook page, and you can find it on demand. We'll get it up there. Happy National Cherry Pie Day, everyone. I hope it was lovely. I've enjoyed our time together. I'd like to thank my guests, the very funny Johnny Beaner. Very talented Jeff Kurz. All your texts, love that when they're part of the show. Tomorrow night, Wisconsin native, great comedian and award-winning, Emmy-winning writer, Jeff Cesario will be here. Jorge Reyna from Mad Unity will be here. And I hope you'll be here. I hope you'll be here as well. I'm Pete Schwabba. This has been Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Slecker.
And this is Dr. Johnny Lupinacci.
Tune in this Wednesday when Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna from Educators Amplified join Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny to tackle the challenges facing our youth.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life, I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.